Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
It's authority, amen, in every area, amen. Hallelujah. We got to remember who we are in God, amen. The enemy want to knock us off and tell us we're not, but we are his ambassadors. I just thank God that he is able to set the captives free. Amen. He is able to deliver those that accept him. And we just expect God to continue to do what he does, to walk in power. Amen. The children are dismissed, but I thank God for what he's going to do today. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise. I pray to God that you would just be with us. Reside in us, oh God. I pray to God that your word tonight would move, dear God, and impact and change our lives, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give your name all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can I get somebody to say amen? Amen. Amen. So as I was just praying and getting ready for today, I was like, Lord, what do you want me to pray about? Or what do you want me to preach about? And many times I say this, your mind begins to race. Anybody, if you have something that God is telling you to do, your mind races. And many ideas come. And the crazy thing is, I know when it's my idea, at least I could tell now when it's my idea versus God's idea. Amen. So I would pray this tonight. Earlier today, I was just praying and a whole bunch of things came in my head. But then God spoke this word. Do not be anxious. All right. Somebody say, do not be anxious. Many times we get anxious when we are waiting for the voice of God. Right. Or we're anxious waiting for what God has in store for us instead of being patient. And our anxiousness causes anxiety. We know that's a big thing right now, right? Because our world that we live in, they're anxious about everything. They have anxiety attacks, panic attacks, right? They can't breathe. They can't see because they are anxious about what is going to happen in their life. And we're talking about young people. I mean, 10 years old kids having anxiety attacks because they're anxious. But God has said, be patient. God said, those that wait on me, this is what the word of God says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. He that waits on me will renew his strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not faint. They shall walk and not grow weary. Amen. That's what happens when you wait. But when you don't wait, you do things in your own strength. That's when you get tired, you get fatigued. You're like, oh, man, I can't make it anymore. That's because you are trying to do things in your own strength. God is saying, wait on me. Tell your neighbor, wait on me. Wait on me. Be patient, not anxious. Amen. The Bible says this. This is my key scripture for today. Be anxious for nothing. Say it like you mean it. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything. So this is what. If you are going to be anxious about something, be anxious in your prayer life. Come on. If you're going to be anxious and you just can't wait for something, be like that in your prayer life. God, I just can't wait till you hear, you speak to me. I can't wait to be in your presence. If you want to be anxious about something, be anxious about your prayer life. It says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, listen to this, Instead of being anxious, you can get the peace of God, right? Which surpasses all understanding. That means you can't even figure out why you have peace. Okay, let me share a story with you guys real quick. I was in a gym, and I was reminded of a story with me and my brother Marcel. We were driving. We had just got done doing a concert, and we were in a McDonald's parking lot up in Benson Road. And I just told some kids that walked by, I just said, Jesus loves you guys. Jesus loves you, man. He got a plan and a purpose for your life. And he said, no, he doesn't love me. And I was like, yeah, he does. I'm like, what are you talking about? Jesus loves you. He died for you. He died to save you from your sins. And he says, but he don't know what I'm about to do. I said, I don't know what you're trying to do, but he does know. So he pulled out a gun, right? And he was like, he don't know what I'm about to do. Jesus don't love me. And I just kept telling him, Jesus loves you, bro. And now check this out. Let me explain something that happened. When he pulled out his gun, I didn't see it. Not because I couldn't see it, but because God kept me in peace. Okay? So when he walked off, I was like, dang, Marcel, did he pull out a gun? You know, it was just like, it was random because I was like, hold up. He just pulled out a gun. And I wasn't scared of him pulling out a gun like this, I mean, towards me almost, right? But when you are walking in the peace of God, it surpasses all understanding. Most people, when they see something like that, they begin to get fearful. Amen? But we can rise up in God knowing that because we are not being anxious, we are praying in everything. We are presenting our supplications with thanksgiving, it says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. Your hearts and your minds. He will guard you. Not only will he give you peace, he will guard your heart and your mind. Because guess what? The biggest problem with anxiety is it attacks your heart and your mind. Ain't that funny? The same thing that anxiety does, it attacks your heart and mind. Jesus says, if you keep your eyes stayed on me, this is a whole nother scripture, I will keep you in perfect peace. When you stay focused on God, right, instead of God, what do you have for me? I'm tired of going back and forth being in the same place. Guess what? God has something for you when you're walking back and forth in that same place. When you're back pacing like, God, okay, God, look, it seems like I was here last year. Well, guess what? God has something for you to learn in that place before he can elevate you to the next place. But we don't want to hear that. We want to hear, God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. Next level, next level. Come on. Jesus is coming here. He's giving you. Check it out. If you don't learn what God has for you, you will stay in the same place. And unfortunately, if we walk around the churches today, many have stayed in the same place because they're anxious. I remember with a business idea thing that I had, I was anxious at one point. There was something that was going to happen, and I don't want to just say everything because there's some people that is involved. And everybody is a good person. Everybody's a God person. But guess what? You can't always connect with everybody. Okay? But I'm thinking, hey, this is going to be a good idea. God, what do you think? Didn't hear nothing. Well, I'm just going to make it happen. Let's do it. Right? I don't know. Okay, I'm guilty. I was anxious in that moment. Right? I wanted to make something happen. And good things came out of it, but bad things also came out of it. Because I didn't wait for a clear cut. And I don't know about you, but when you move before God, you kind of feel a little funny. like God, okay, well, you know, I hope he's, well, you know, God's good still. He'll take care of me, right? You kind of play these prayer words in your own mind so that you're cool, but you in your deep in your heart, you know you moved out of anxiousness to try to get something done without God. I remember another instance when I started my podcast ministry for the churches. I had the plan written out for 2 years before I even stepped into it. And when God told me, It was funny because God was like, I gave you the plan 2 years ago. Why didn't you use it? When he told me that, I was like, okay, this is the release. I can go use it. At that time, I called people and they said, man, we've been waiting for you. Right? That's the difference between moving in your own strength, amen, being anxious and waiting on God. I'm going to read that same passage in the Amplified version. It says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, which means a definitive request. You guys catch that? That's what petition means. That means a definite request. God, I'm asking for this specific thing right here. Right? That's what he says. In everything, by prayer and a specific request, let him know what you're praying about. Amen? With thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Now let's break down what anxious is. We hear this word all the time, but in the dictionary it says experiencing worry. Okay, that's the first thing it says about anxious. When somebody is anxious, they are worried about things. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, do not worry. Can I get a witness, right? Do not worry about, what does it say? Do not worry about what you will eat tomorrow, what kind of clothes you're going to have on, right? Because it says even the heathens or the people in the world worry about these things. But then it says in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and everything that you could worry about, but you're not worried about it because you're giving it to God, right? You're not worried about it, but it says that everything else, it will be added unto you as well. Okay? This is kingdom protocol. We don't walk like the world does. Right? So if I'm in the same situation, in the same circumstance, I don't know about you, but I've seen people in the news where tornadoes coming and everybody's panicking, but the church stands and prays. In the middle of the storm. Right? And I saw one of them, they were praying. They were Spanish. They were speaking in tongues. And you know what? I can hear it. I know what they're praying. And that storm turned away. Because that's kingdom protocol. They didn't stand and be like, oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. See, this is the thing. With God on your side, the Bible has promised you will go through things. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. Because I have overcome the world. And if you are in me, you can overcome the world. So next time, instead of getting anxious, instead of getting worried about the trials and the things that go on in life, stand. We talk about Ephesians chapter 6. It says, stand after all you have done, continue to stand. Amen. I'm talking to somebody in here. I don't know what you guys are going through, but instead of getting anxious, you stand upon the word of God. Right? If you're going to get anxious about anything, get anxious in your prayer. Start praying. Okay? Don't let the devil come in here and make you think that you're not going anywhere. You are. You are God's child. He has placed his signature upon you. He has redeemed you by his blood. He has set you free. Amen. So we don't have to worry because we have the peace of God when our mind is stayed upon Christ. It says, and anxious is the number one definition is experiencing worry, unease. Anybody ever been uneasy about something? Come on, let's be real. Nervousness. Anybody been nervous? All right. Typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Okay? Number two, the second definition is wanting something very much, typically with a feeling of unease. All right? It's funny how when things are coming people's way, people start doing all kind of stuff. I always think about, you know, and I talk about this with people that love sports, you know, some of these people in the NFL, they get all this money and they get anxious. Not only do they spend it on nice things, let's be honest, they got nice things, but they also anxiously waste their money because some of them didn't have it before. And when they get there, they're like, oh man, what can I do with this? And not only that, some of them get anxious before they get there, so they get little deals that they shouldn't get that are illegal. Because they're like, oh, I'm going to make it anyway. Wait. God's timing, I want everybody to say this. God's timing is perfect. You guys catch that? God's timing is perfect, Sister Jane. God's timing is perfect. While we are thinking like God is moving too slow, like, God, why don't you come back now? He said, I'm waiting because there's more people that need to come to me. Right? I'm waiting because there are more people that need to be set free, that need to know who I am. Or in your situation, I am waiting because I still need to mature you so you are ready for what is getting ready to take place. Last couple weeks, I've been having some issues with my children. And when I say that, this is growing pains, right? But one of the things that I see with my kids, especially my two oldest ones, is they don't want to work hard for anything. And to me, I can see that they can be better if they work a little harder, right? And I don't know about you, as a father, I want my kids to be the best they can be in whatever they do. Sports, God first, sports, school, arts, recreation, whatever they do, I want them to be their best. So it's my job as a father to prepare them to be their best. One of the things I always say is, I am good, but I can be better because I was born to be great. I say that every day when they go to school. I am good, but I can be better. So that they know that even if you're getting A's in school, you can still be better. Right? You could get straight A's and still get better. Right? By learning different study habits. I remember, you guys remember Alvin Pierman that used to come to the church, AP? We were talking to him not too long ago. It's been a while, but he was learning how to speed read faster. He was like, he reads a lot of books, and he was saying there's a skill. You can learn to read faster. He was like, once you get it, you can actually almost read half a page faster than anybody can read one sentence. Right? And he was serious about this. And I was like, wow. But he wanted to get better, right? It's training. There's a training to it. You have to look it up. Okay. I didn't take the training. Okay. I don't want to give you any falsified information, but basically he would train himself. And I'll say this, try it with yourself. You can, if you read a page, start reading it and try to see how fast you can read it. Right. Turn it, glance at it and turn it off and see what you saw. That's how he gets faster, okay? That's how you get faster. I'm not going to say I'm not the Dr. Seuss in that area. But I'm saying he wanted to get faster. This is a grown man wanting to get faster in reading. So what I'm saying is we all can get better, but instead of being anxious, let's trust God, okay? One thing I want to get better in is hearing God. Okay, I can hear from God, but I want to hear from him daily, in the moment, continually. The Bible says continue to pray. I want to continue to hear him. Amen. These are things that as believers, us that we have been here for a long time in the faith, I want to continue to see God move and change people's lives. I want to see more and more people saved. That means I have to become more of a vessel. Amen. When we do that, we are saying, God, use me. Today while I was praying, I said, I got all these thoughts in my head. God, empty me so you can fill me up. Empty me, because Marquise has so many ideas that are going through his head. They just swirl around. But I said, God, get those out of the way and fill me up, so I can walk and operate in what you've called me to operate in. Because a lot of times these ideas are anxiousness. Like, dang, oh man, if my music could just get there. Okay, what do I got to do? All right, well, I tried it. It didn't work. All right, so I'm getting anxious. Then I just be like, just trust God. It's funny, when you stop worrying about stuff, things start to happen. You ever seen that happen in your life, Sister Monica? When you stop worrying, all of a sudden things start to fall in place because you start trusting God. Huh, Mike? You stop worrying about, oh man, I gotta get this shop set up. I gotta just say, God, in your timing. What did I tell you guys earlier? God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. One of the keys, and I don't have too much left, but one of the keys is, when we are waiting, it's important how you wait. Some of us, we wait with an attitude. I'm guilty of it. A lot of times when I have attitude, it's because I'm waiting on something. Right? Waiting on a check to come. Why the heck that check ain't came yet? Right? I'm waiting on some kind of deal to come through. Right? I'm waiting on my kids to act right. Hallelujah. I'm waiting for something. And instead of waiting with, okay, God, you're going to do it. I can trust you, God. All right, I'm just going to go relax and trust God. Instead of that, sometimes we get caught up with the attitude. It's important how you wait. I'm going to go to Jeremiah 17. Verses 5 through 18, and this is going to be my feature scripture for tonight. In this passage, if you guys have ever read Jeremiah, now Jeremiah is kind of an interesting book in the Bible. In this book, there were many prophets that were anxious with the word, but it wasn't from God. Okay? At this time, and I'm just giving you guys just a little bit of it because I'm reading this in my own time. But Jeremiah was telling the people that Babylon was coming, right? The king of Babylon was going to come, and you need to submit to him. Okay? And you will live. Not only will you live, he said you will thrive under the king of Babylon. Now, other prophets said, no, we have to go to war. There's no, this king, who's this king? He's not in charge. God said, and this is very dangerous to say things that God said when he didn't say them. But they kept saying, God said he's going to do this. God said to go to war against him. We will crush them under our feet, just like I use, you know, they, and the funny thing is they always have little things that they show people so they can see. Yeah, God said he will crush them under my hand, just like I'm crushing this flower. Right? And at one point they went to war. Two of the kings went to war. King Jehoshaphat, and I can't remember the other king. They went to war, and the other king disguised himself as somebody that wasn't a king, and he was killed. Because and the crazy thing was, he was like, lock Jeremiah up until I get back. And Jeremiah told him, you ain't coming back, boss. You're not going to come back. You go to war, you're going to die, because I told you that's what God said. So in this time, people were getting anxious to share a word from God, but they weren't being patient and waiting on hearing from God, okay? We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-486-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 through 18. Let's read that. This book is a pretty long book in the Bible too. But it says this: thus says the Lord, cursed is a man who trusts in man. Man, that's a lot already. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. See that? People begin to trust in man and they step back from God. They start thinking, oh, it's me. I did this. I'm the one with the strength. I'm the one that did this. I'm the one. It was me. Hey, who did? It was me. They want to be seen, right? They're not trusting in God. They're trusting in man. Then it talks about what will happen to them in verse 6. It says, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, which means places where there is no water, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed, somebody say blessed. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. When you trust in the Lord, your hope comes from God. Amen. See, some of us are anxious. We're not trusting in God because our hope is in seeing what is going to happen. We're hoping for promotion. We're hoping for this and hoping for that. But God said, your hope should come from me. Amen. Your hope should come from me. Have a seat, please. Your hope should come from me. For he shall be. We all heard this scripture right here. He shall be the person that hopes in the Lord, shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spread out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. All right? That's interesting right there. Okay? Now, the cursed man who thought he was doing it by himself, he was, you know, getting his little dance on with his muscles and all that. He was in a parched land. He didn't see success the way that we will see success. Now, let me say this, because people in the world, they always seem like they're successful until you look at them by themselves. Okay? I don't know about you, but I've seen people in the world, they got a better car than me, better house than me, but they're not satisfied. Because guess what? When a drought comes, it says, in this one, it says, when the heat comes, for a righteous man, he's still cool, still calm, he's collected, right? Let us go through remember we went through the recession? You guys remember that? 2009 is when the recession really hit. And in 2009 is when I stepped out and did my business by myself. Now, check that out. That's funny. But during that time, you saw panic on everybody. Rich people, poor people, middle class people, trying to figure out how they're going to make it. And because I put my trust in God, he allowed me to relax during that time. If a recession comes, my blessing still comes, because God is not connected to the economy of the United States of America. Amen. God is not, let me say a better word, he's not subject to the economy of the United States of America, or for that sake, this whole world. Amen. God's resources are not subject to those things. Because I don't know about you, God can do things beyond what we can think or imagine. Right? And if we keep our mind, remember I said this, if we keep our mind and our eyes stayed on Jesus, he will keep us in perfect peace. So when the heat comes, he said, you won't fear. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious. Check that out. It will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. See, when you're anxious, your fruit starts to change. An apple tree starts, if it's anxious, it's going to produce something, but it might not be a fresh apple. Right? I don't know about you, the things that seem like they take the longest to cook always seem like they taste better. Right? You can cook a hot dog in the microwave. It's not that great. Right? You grill it, you take your time, you do some stuff to it, right? It tastes a little better. Still a hot dog. Right? Now it's funny. I remember, I ain't gonna say that, but when you microwave food, it doesn't always taste the same. That's all I'm saying. Your baked potato in the microwave might not taste like a baked potato in the oven. But you have to wait for it. I remember my friends found out you can cook bacon in the microwave. And they did it. It took 20 seconds, right, before it started burning your microwave up. But they cooked it in there. I was like, oh, man. I mean, I was just a kid. I knew it just didn't seem right. But we want microwave blessings. That's what anxiousness does. God, just give it to me. Give it to me. It's not done yet. I'm going to put it in the microwave. Hallelujah. And you think you're walking with what God has told you to walk in, but it's microwaved. Right? Instead of the wave of God. Instead of him saying, take your time. And let's be honest, we get in the most trouble in our lives because we don't want to take our time and wait on God. That's why we are in some of the predicaments that we are in now, is because something, a test came, and we said, I can't do this in my own strength, but we didn't have the strength to trust in God at that moment. But God is saying, right now, you trust in me. Right now, don't get anxious about anything, but pray with a specific request. I remember the When I was renting out my house to one of my good friends, and his family was staying there, and I didn't pay the bill, and they said they were going to kick them out before Christmas. And I was like, oh. Now, check this out. They didn't pay the bill either. They was renting from me. But I prayed because I didn't want that family out before Christmas. And what I did was I prayed all night with that specific request. God, I know it's not looking right now. I know my finances is tight right now. This family might right now get kicked out, right? But God, I know that you are able to do beyond what I'm able to do. So I began to pray that you would change their hearts. I'm going to send them a letter, God. When I send them a letter, I'll pray, Father, for your mercy and your grace. And God changed that situation because I went to him with a specific prayer request. So they delayed it. And guess what? Because God is good, he gave me the strength to pay it off in full at a certain time. It wasn't instant. Amen. Bills don't always get instantly paid, but God will do it right on time. Check this out. Verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitfully above all things. I'm sorry, the heart is deceitful. The funny thing is when you read it in some passages, it says deceitfully wicked, right? Your heart is deceitful. The things you want can deceive you. That's why it's important to be connected to God, right? Because I'm going to tell you this, you might want something good, but you guys heard me say this before, it's not what God wants. You might have a good job opportunity, but God is saying, nah, that's not it. Because if you get this job, da-da-da, this will happen, this will happen, this will happen. But God is saying, just wait on me. Right? Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God. He knows it. It actually says it in the very next passage. I, the Lord, search the heart. Somebody say, God searches the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. Okay? So what you are doing, God will reward you according to your fruit. As a partridge that broods but does not hatch, so is he who gets riches but not by right. Or in other words, he gets riches but not in the right way. It will leave him in the midst of his days, and at his end he will be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is a place of sanctuary. Then Jeremiah says, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me, this is the Lord saying, it shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Now, during this time, once again, Jeremiah is one that is waiting on the voice of God. And not only is he praying for himself, but he's praying that God, that they would hear what God is saying. Amen. Because I don't know, sometimes the word of God is not always the most popular thing. Right? Can I get a witness? You go to your job, the word of God is not the most popular thing. Shucks, you go to church, the word of God is not the most popular thing. But it's the thing that gives life. Amen? It's the thing that gives peace. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Verse 15 says, indeed, they say to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. They can't wait for the word of the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, when you wait upon the Lord, it shall renew your strength. You will mount up with wings like eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. That's what happens when you wait upon God. Hey, we were getting ready to sing that song today, too. Waiting on you, patiently waiting on you. I'm not worried about the time. Lord, you seem to find, I find strength while I'm waiting on you. Amen? It's important to wait. And then Jeremiah says in verse 16, as for me, I have not hurried away from being a shepherd who follows you, nor have I desired the woeful day. You know what came out of my lips. It was right there before you. Do not be a terror to me. You are my hope in the day of doom. Check this out, man. Jeremiah is in the midst of people that want to kill him because he's waiting on the true word of God. Even amongst the body of Christ, there is a false word of God. Where they say these things and, oh, it's all right. You can live how you want to. Didn't you accept Jesus Christ? Well, then, cool. Go ahead and do you. Right? Oh, well, you know, let's take that. It's funny. I seen this thing on Facebook or Twitter. It said John 3:16. Everybody loves it. Yeah. John 3:16. Woo-hoo. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him won't perish but have everlasting life. They love that, but they don't like the rest of it, which says, but God sent his son into the world, not to condemn his world, but through him they shall be saved. They don't want that part, right? And then they definitely don't want the part after it that says, but the light came into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, right? And in the poll, everybody, it was like you guys ever seen those things where people go vote this side, John 3:16, and this side, John 3:16 through, I think it was 19. And nobody went to that line. Because they just want to, oh, he'll love you. But this is the same God. If you don't walk in what he's called you to do, unfortunately, you are walking in death. There's two sides. If there's God, there has to be a devil. Right? If there's good, there has to be evil. If there's truth, there has to be a lie. And many people, instead of waiting, accept the lie. Because it's more popular. More people will see it. More people accept it. But verse 17 says, do not be a terror to me. You are my hope in the day of doom. Let them be ashamed who persecute me, but do not let me be put to shame. Let them be dismayed, but do not let me be dismayed. Bring on them the day of doom and destroy them with double destruction. Okay? Now, it's funny because we don't, nowadays, we don't ask God to destroy people. But they were trying to destroy the word of God. Because if I don't know about you guys, you got to remember in this time, Sister Jane, they did not have the Bible like we had the Bible. So when these prophets spoke, even the ones that all of them that were trained up, when they spoke a word that wasn't God's word, it was a lie. And it deceived many. Guess what? All the kings had prophets. It wasn't something new just in this time. You go look at Saul. King Saul, he had prophet Samuel, right? David had Samuel. Then he had prophet Nathan, right? He had all these prophets were with the kings. And some of the kings said, I'm still going to do what I want to do. I want a word that's going to tickle my ears and makes me feel good. But God said, not so. Don't be anxious for the word of God where you miss the word of God because you didn't wait. Patiently wait on his word. Despite how you are right now, the things you're going through, the circumstances, despite them, don't allow anxiety to overtake you. Because when you're anxious, it leads to a whole nother other things. It leads to depression, right? It leads to wanting to harm yourself because then you think you're not good enough, right? It makes you not look at yourself with the lenses of God when God said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what God said. But we start looking at ourselves a whole nother light because we're anxious. Trust God. Do not worry. I'm going to read the first scripture I opened up again. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I've been praying for minds lately. I've been praying that God will renew minds. Because we are in a day and age where minds are weird. But God is in the business of renewing. Creating new. God does that. He will make everything new. Once he comes back, everything will be new. You will have a new body. You will have a new mind. He will create a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem, because when God comes into your life, he makes you new and he makes you better. Amen? Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have gone, and it says, behold, all things are new. That's the great thing about God. You don't have to be anxious because he's making you new. When you are waiting on him, he's still making you new. I don't know about you. When you get something new, you make, oh, yeah, okay. Oh, I got that new outfit. All right, yeah. Got them new kicks. But the better when God makes your life new, it's even better. Amen. God, we just thank you for your word today. God, we pray to God that your word would make us new constantly. That God, when we hear your word, that we would walk in newness. that we would learn all that you've called us to become. God, allow us to be your student and you teach us. Allow us to sit still and not be anxious, oh God. God, I pray to God that this word will renew a right spirit within us, dear God, so that we can run into the purpose and the calling that you have for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let everybody say amen and amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.